Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 1016 to the tune Blissful Home 302. God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the Psalms 126 through to 130. Psalms 126 through to 130. You will notice these are called Songs of Degrees. It is believed that when the children of Israel travelled from around the country to Jerusalem on those special feast days three times a year, that they used to sing these songs of degrees as they walked up to Jerusalem. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, but thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. May Israel now say, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plough has ploughed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turn back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word, and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, hymned by all the heavenly hosts, we would desire, O Lord, to bow before thy glorious majesty, Thou art in heaven and we upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For in the multitude of words there wanteth not iniquity. And thy servant of old declared, woe is me, for I am undone, and I am of a people of unclean lips. And Lord, this is a true witness. We're born in sin. We're shapen in iniquity. We're unclean and unrighteous altogether. Oh, most gracious God, we do pray that we may be led and taught and guided and directed by thee, and that at this evening hour the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, the sacred communion of the Holy Ghost may rest and abide upon us, that we may be led into the truth, and that the truth may be sealed into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst lead us out of self unto Jesus Christ, that thou wouldst take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Otherwise, most blessed Spirit, we never will see them. We pray that thou wouldst work precious faith in our hearts, that we may be raised up to a sweet hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we may be favoured to see by faith his glorious person and his glorious work of redeeming love and his glorious power to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. May it please thee, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst grant this evening hour that the Lord Jesus Christ might be exalted as a Prince and as a Saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. We pray, most gracious Lord, that the precious blood of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, may be made precious unto us in the application of it to our souls, precious in the desire after it. We pray that the glorious everlasting righteousness of Jesus Christ, we may be clothed upon with it. Lord, that is our desire as we gather together around thy word, that the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ may be made known unto us, that we may experience it in our souls, that we may lay hold of that hope that is set before us in the gospel. We read in thy word that the Holy Spirit will reprove of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. We pray that it may be so, that we may be led and guided, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst graciously grant that he be lifted up. Thou hast said in thy word, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Oh, that it may please thee that he may be lifted up here tonight. This is not the work of mere flesh, sinful flesh. It is the work of thy Spirit. It is the work of thy grace. And it is in thy holy power alone, O Lord, to draw sinners unto Christ. None come except the Father draw. And we pray that it may be so this evening hour, that there may be that sweet drawing, that there may be a time of sweet remembrance. Thy former mercies are repeat. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy great mercy wouldst bless us as a church and as a congregation. Remember our beloved brethren, the deacons. Remember them for good. Help them in all their concerns, in all their responsibilities. And bless us together as a church and as a congregation. Remember each one of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship and richly bless them. And those in the congregation that have those spiritual desires and longings, that may they be led by Thee and guided by Thee and taught by Thee, and being able to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to Thy redeeming blood and say, "Behold the way to God." We pray, dear Lord, Thy richest blessing to rest upon the little ones and the children as they're brought into the sanctuary. We do thank Thee for them. We do thank Thee, O Lord, that as we've read together, the fruit of the womb is from the Lord. And we would thank Thee for them and the little babes and children. We think of the words of our Lord Jesus, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not." We do pray, dear Lord, that Thou in Thy great mercy wouldst graciously bless the dear young friends. They're in the slippery paths of youth, and Lord, perhaps do not realise just how dangerous and slippery it is. We do pray that Thou wouldst open their eyes and their hearts and bring them to a knowledge of themselves and bring them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. This is Thy work, Lord, and we long to see Thy work and Thy power and Thy glory. We long to see the fulfilling of that precious word, "Instead of Thy fathers shall be Thy children, whom Thou mayest make princes in all the earth." May it be so, Lord. May we see a building of Zion's walls. May we see the prodigals returning, those that are as far from God as sheep can run. Stretch out Thy almighty arm. Cause them to be in want. Cause them to return. There is a period known to God, when all His sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. Lord, may it be so. We do humbly beseech Thee for Thy great name's sake. O Lord, we do pray that Thou in Thy great mercy would remember this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and grant Thy blessing, Thy power and Thy grace to rest, O Lord, upon the assemblies of the saints, that we may see an ingathering of precious souls, born again, brought to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, brought to be humble followers of the Lamb, pull down the strongholds of Satan, set up the kingdom of our Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Bless the word of the Lord distributed, that it may yet redound to Thy honour and to Thy glory. For there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And may we know that joy here. We do humbly beseech of Thee. We pray for each in the midst of the journey of life. Especially we think of parents, that they may be given wisdom and grace and help to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray, dear Lord, that Thou in Thy great mercy wouldst graciously help and support in family worship, that there may be a generation that shall be raised up to call Thee the Redeemer blessed, and that Thy presence may be known in family worship. The spirit of love and union may be nurtured there. in the home. We pray, dear Lord, that thou would bless and undertake for each one that walks in the way of temptation. Sometimes the enemy is like a roaring lion who comes to devour. Sometimes the enemy is like an angel of light who comes to deceive. And we know not how to stand against the wiles of the wicked one, against the powers of Satan. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, it is not an equal fight. He is far more subtle and cunning and powerful than we are. Yet thou hast promised, and we plead that precious promise, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We pray thy blessing, dearest Lord, to rest upon those in the evening time of life's journey, its attendant weaknesses and infirmities. And we pray that as the outward man perisheth, the inward man may be renewed day by day. O Lord, do hear us. We humbly beseech thee for thy great name's sake. O Lord, we do thank thee for our little house of prayer, for the supply of all our many returning needs. We have so much to be thankful for. We do thank thee for the sacred glory and beauty and loveliness of Jesus Christ, and the fullness of salvation that is in him. We thank thee that in and through him we know the love of our Heavenly Father, and we know the sweet sacred gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, do be gracious. We do humbly beseech thee still unto us. We bless thee, O Lord, for all thy tender mercy which are new every morning. Remember thy church. Remember thy servants. Bless with wisdom and understanding, light and understanding, guidance and direction in thy word. Remember each one of thy servants, thou knowest where they are, thou knowest the condition they are found in, and they are in thy hand. And we do pray that thou wouldst grant thy help and thy blessing. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy would graciously raise up and send forth true labourers to build the walls of Jerusalem, that we may see prosperity, that we may see a turning and a following after thee. Lord, we live in days of great declension, and we do desire that thou in thy great mercy would grant a reviving, a renewing. We think of that precious word, for I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies. Lord, may it be so. We do humbly beseech thee. We thank thee, O Lord, for granting thy gracious help to dear Millie and bringing her home in peace and safety. Continue thy mercy in granting restoration and strength and help. We do humbly beseech thee. And may these things be sanctified to her heart. We thank thee, O Lord, for the arrival of the great-grandchild of our dear friends here. And Lord, something to be much thankful for all thy tender mercies and loving kindnesses. We pray that thou wouldst now be with us as we turn to thy holy word, and graciously come and open the word to our heart and to our understanding. And come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. For Lord, there can be nothing done without thee. We ask with the forgiveness of all our many sins, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 534. The tune is Broadbent, 449. Mercy speaks by Jesus' blood. Hear and sing, ye sons of God. Justice satisfied indeed. Christ has full atonement made. Hymn 534. Greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to Psalm 130, reading verses 7 and 8 for our text. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let Israel hope in the Lord. These two verses are spoken concerning Israel. And even in the New Testament, the Christian church is called the Israel of God, the Lord's chosen people. That is what the children of Israel in the Old Testament were, the Lord's chosen people. And they are today. A Christian believer is a spiritual son of Abraham. The Word of God very clearly teaches that. And their hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Israel hope in the Lord, in Jehovah. Everything previous to this, in this little psalm, is personal. But here, it spreads out to Israel, the whole Israel of God. But the previous part of the psalm, when the psalmist is speaking from the depths of his own heart and the depths of his own guilt, his own need as a poor sinner before a holy God, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. We cannot know the mercy of God in its truth and essential worth until we know that we're a sinner. And we feel that we're a sinner. Till we know that we are guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, in his own teachings, he said, the whole need not a physician, but them that are sick. How true that is. We need to know our sickness, our spiritual sickness, our spiritual helplessness and hopelessness. That those who profess to be Christians and know nothing of this inward work of the Spirit, as we often draw your attention to, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin. It's an essential part of the work of the Holy Ghost and of righteousness. He will convince a sinner that he or she is a sinner. He will convince that there is a day of judgment. He will convince that God is righteous altogether. And what a great disparity there is between us and a holy God. And when the Holy Spirit begins to show us that, and it's the want of this, there are many that will speak wonderful things about the mercy, grace and loveliness of God and of Christ, but they don't know it experimentally in their hearts. They know it as they read the Word of God, and as they're taught, and as they read good books, and they know all about it in an intellectual way, but they don't know themselves as a sinner. And we cannot estimate the worth of the mercy of God unless we know ourselves. Just as the psalmist here, out of the depths, that is the depths of his need, the depths of his darkness, the depths of his bondage, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Where are you tonight? What depths are you in tonight? The depths of guilt, of uncleanness, of unrighteousness, the depths of a sinful, wicked, corrupt heart and nature. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. You feel your need. And he says here, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Well, supplications, my beloved friends, they are what you might say, fervent prayer. Not just a prayer, but a fervent prayer. Supplicating, pleading, that's what it means. David felt his need. He felt his helplessness. He felt his hopelessness. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Now, there may be many things that bring you into this condition. And things in providence, things in your circumstances, things in your family, things in the church of God. Many things bring us into the depths. But there's one thing that stands out here in this psalm, that the great depths, you know, the more we have experience in our hearts of the Holy Spirit convincing us of sin and emptying us and pouring us from vessel to vessel and bringing us to nothing in ourselves. The Holy Spirit often uses things in providence to do that. You so feel your weakness and your lack of judgment of that which is wise and right. You think of the words spoken in the Word of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And you have to say to the Lord, Lord, I do so lack wisdom. I do so lack grace. I do so lack love. I do so lack faith. See, the other thing that is a great depth and trial to the living child of God is unbelief. You know, those people that only have an intellectual faith, that which is in the head, they do not know this conflict. The true child of God is deeply burdened with unbelief. It's a great trial to him. It's a great trouble to him. And it's like that man we read of in the Gospels. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. You wrestle against it. You fight against it. But then, you see, it says here, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. This is what was at the heart and essence of the psalmist's burden. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities. I know I've told you before, but it was quite enlightening to me, reading Stephen Charnock once. And he spoke of iniquity and what it meant. You see, we have sin, we have iniquity. And what he said, a very learned man, he said iniquity refers to that deep well of sin that is in our fallen nature. We have a heart which is deceitful above all things. It's full of iniquity. It's indwelling sin. It's original in our very nature. And that is what causes the living child of God so much trouble and trial. Indwelling sin. The corruption of their heart. And these iniquities that dwell in you. It doesn't mean to say that you're living in sin. There's a big difference. But sin lives in you. There's a big difference between those two things. Sin lives in you, and that is a great trial and a great plague to every living child of God, indwelling sin. Or, as it said here, iniquity. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark, that is count, iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? None will. You think of those comprehensive words of our Lord speaking to Noah when he came out of the ark. He said, for I know that the imagination of the heart of man is evil continually. That's the state and condition that we're each in by nature, If thou, Lord, shouldest mark, count iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Who shall stand? But then, the dear man of God, there is a hope that is raised up in his heart, just as we have at the beginning of our text, let Israel hope in the Lord. But there is, what a wonderful mercy this statement is, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. There is forgiveness with God. And that forgiveness, my beloved friends, comes in and through the precious person and work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where forgiveness is found. That is where salvation is found. That is where mercy is found. That is where grace is found. That is where peace is found. It's in and through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And this fear is not that slavish fear that is found under the law, where a man is terrified of the Lord. No, this fear is the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. This fear, my beloved friends, is not taught by the commandment of men, but by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in the heart, by the precious graces of the Spirit. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That is loved, followed, served. That's what it means, that thou mayest be feared. Forgiveness. What a sweet sound, isn't it? What a precious thing. But there is forgiveness with thee. This great, this almighty, this eternal, this infinite God, this God in whom we live and move and have our being, this God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, this God that sustains the very universe, this God of whom it is said, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. This almighty God, this holy God. But there is forgiveness with thee. You know, it's a very beautiful word. The wise woman of Tekoa, when she came and spoke before King David, and she said that the Lord had certain devices whereby he would be able to deliver his banished ones. What a beautiful word, isn't it? He's able to deliver his banished ones. Those that have sinned against him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But there is forgiveness. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But there is forgiveness. It washes away all sin. Sin is purged away by the blood of Christ. The blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ is where a sinner is delivered from all law charges, where they are washed from all their sins, where their nakedness is clothed in that glorious everlasting robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But there is forgiveness with thee. What this produced in the heart, this hope, let Israel hope in the Lord. You see, again, we go back to the form part of the psalm where it's personal. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet not seen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word, has the word of God been made precious to you? Has the word of God been made sweet to you? Can you in some little way enter into the feelings of Jeremiah when he says, thy words were sweet and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart? What a sweetness. When that word, by the power of the Holy Ghost, was brought into your heart. For our gospel came unto you, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. I wait. This is the posture of the true living child of God, living by faith. I wait. You see, he waited to be gracious. We cannot demand a blessing. We cannot command a blessing. We have to be brought as poor penitents to the footstool of divine mercy, pleading for mercy, waiting for mercy. You know, there was that man that we read of in the Gospels by the pool of Bethesda, and he'd waited 38 years. Do you think of that? 38 years he waited, he watched. Once a year the angel of the Lord came and disturbed the waters, and whoever went into that pool immediately after the waters were disturbed was healed of their affliction. And when the Lord Jesus came right where he was, he said that when the angel comes and stirs the waters, he was impotent, he was unable to move. He said, I cannot get down before other people. So there he was waiting. But what a wonderful narrative that is. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came right where he was. And he said unto him, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And he arose and he walked. You see, he was waiting. He was waiting. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. You think of the word of his grace. You think of the sweet promises, the promises of Jesus Christ, of the coming of Christ, of the sacrifice of Christ, of the blood of Christ, of the righteousness of Christ, of the mercy and love and grace of Christ. And you hope. You continually hope. You desire. You look to the Lord. Sometimes it's with a sigh and a cry, words you cannot express. You feel your need, you feel the burden of your sin, you feel your hopelessness and your sinfulness, but you wait and you watch. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. You think of this. So in the dark night, unable to sleep, or the watchman on the watchtower, waiting for the dawning of the day. And he likens this. You see, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. You see, you're watching and waiting, seeking the Lord's deliverance, seeking the Lord's guidance, seeking the Lord's direction, seeking the Lord's confirmation in the way that you should go. You see, and in his word do I hope. There are times when you read the word of God and there's a sweetness and a preciousness in it, and it draws you, it revives you, it renews you in those exercises and prayers of your own soul. And you watch, and you watch, and you wait. You know, those characters in the Holy Word of God that watch and wait are called blessed. my mind, it just goes to Proverbs chapter 8. And we read there, verse 33, hear instruction and be wise. Where do you find instruction? In the Word of God. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of the Lord. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily, waiting at the posts of my doors. Is that how you've come up to the house of God tonight? You're watching. You're waiting. Just like that man by the pool of Bethesda. You feel so impotent and so helpless, and you're watching and you're waiting. You see, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Now, these waiting souls, they are sorely tempted of Satan. Satan knows what they're waiting for. Satan knows that they're loved with an everlasting love. Satan knows that they know their own sinfulness and wretchedness. But as they're waiting, as they're watching, as they're praying, as they're seeking, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. He does. Taking that weapon of all prayer. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Now, let Israel hope in the Lord. This is part of this watching and waiting, hoping. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Now this is where hope is found. This is where hope is found. It's in the Lord. It's in his loving kindness and in his faithfulness. My mind, in thinking of these words this morning, we read in the beginning of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, hope maketh not ashamed. Hope is the fruit of faith. Faith wrought in the heart brings to hope in Christ. And the sweet faith wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost, looking unto Jesus, raises a hope in the heart, a desire, a longing after the mercy and grace of God. It's a very wonderful thing, my beloved friends, to have a good hope through grace. Now, it's well grounded when it's here. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. There's an abundance of redemption, plenteous redemption. A full deliverance, a complete deliverance, is found in Jesus Christ. You think of those blessed words, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's an abundance, my beloved friends. It's from all sin. There's plenteous redemption. See, if one sin was left, we would be damned forever. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It does. It fits a soul to stand in the presence of Almighty God. It fits a soul to come boldly to the throne of grace. The precious blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. What hope there is in that precious sin atoning blood of Jesus the Son of God. It is indeed. My mind often goes to that the first chapter in the epistle to the Ephesians. And in that first chapter we read from verse 6, to the praise and glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What a precious mercy, isn't it? His purposes will ripen fast, unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. You know, we read in Psalm 103, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. You think of that. The mercy is a divine attribute of the eternal God. And it's everlasting mercy. It's mercy that is without beginning and without end. It's mercy that is centered in the glorious person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thy mercy, my God, is the tune of my tongue, the joy of my heart. It is the mercy of God. For with the Lord there is mercy. What a foundation. What a foundation. There is mercy. And it's built on the eternal rock of ages, on the finished work of Christ. Mercy is shown in the goodness of God, at that divine attribute of God, his goodness. We read in Nahum, the Lord is good, that is essentially good. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth all them that trust in him. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. You know, we read in the last verses of Micah chapter 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. And then he gives us the reason, because he delighteth in mercy. This wonderful mercy, and the foundation of it, the finished work of Christ, the eternal rock of ages. And because he delighteth in mercy, he goes on, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and they will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Because he delighteth in mercy. He does. He does. He delights in mercy. That mercy that flows through the cross, through the life, through the sufferings, death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That wonderful mercy of God. What a foundation. What firmness. What a rock it is on which we build. Let Israel hope. This is a good hope through grace. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem. And we can say in the day in which we live, and he has redeemed Israel from all his iniquities. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And as we read again in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath the Lord removed our iniquities from us. They're removed. Why? Because of his mercy. There's no other reason. Not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his abundant mercy. That wonderful mercy of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this hoping in the Lord, my mind was much drawn. There are those two very beautiful psalms which have been a great help to the Lord's living family over the centuries since they were written. Psalms 42 and 43. And David, he begins that psalm, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Do you know this language? My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. Do you know this language? While they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Do you know this? Do you experience this? For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hope thou in God. This is a hope that maketh not ashamed. We read of Abraham that he hoped against hope when he was waiting for the promised seed. He hoped against hope. What a conflict there was within him. You know, he says again in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy. He does. He will hear the cry of the destitute when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I will open rivers in high places and streams in the desert. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. And again, in this 43rd psalm, he pleads with the Lord, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? That's how he felt. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Is that where you are? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, these waiting souls know much deep conflict. Deep conflict within their own heart, within their own soul. One of the things is indwelling sin. That causes a deep conflict because there is a new man of grace and the one is contrary to the other. The other conflict is Satan is always on hand, ready to tempt, ready to turn aside. He is, he's always there. It's like Joshua the high priest. You think of what that dear man of God was being ordained into. And as he was being ordained into it, we read that Satan stood at his right hand resisting him. You see, my beloved friends, this is the Christian's pathway. Fightings within, fightings without. The world, the flesh, the devil, the living child of God, he battles with all these sometimes all at once. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Oh, remember that. With the Lord there is mercy. And this mercy of God, it is built on a good foundation. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That rock is Christ. It is. It's a good foundation. It will never fail. He will never fail. We often fail him, but he will never fail you. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. You know, in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we read in John 1 that he is full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. With him is plenteous redemption. He will not fail. No. He will not fail. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. A door of hope is opened wide. In Jesus' bleeding hands and side, it is. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 11 to the tune Sabbath Day 836. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart, the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.